Okay, it's good to see everyone. Good morning. Thank you for coming to learn. The pasuk says in this coming week's parsha, in parshas Va'era, "Vidatem ki ani Hashem Elokeichem hamotzi eschem mitachas avlos Mitzrayim." The Kodesh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim in a miraculous fashion, in order that we should know that it was the Ribbono Shel Olam who took us out. And the Gemara Maseches Brachos and Daf Lamed Ches derives from this pasuk, or uses this pasuk as one of the sources for the nusach of the bracha of hamotzi lachem. Hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu enabled Moshe Rabbeinu to take us out of Mitzrayim, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu enables us to create bread from that which grows from the ground. And therefore I wanted to take the opportunity to discuss perhaps the bracha of Hamotzi, not the typical bracha of Hamotzi of a person who's eating one of the five grains that's made into a thick dough and then into bread, which is what we typically encounter, but under that umbrella, the discussion of making hamoitzi on pasa babikisnin, or bread that normally doesn't come in the course, normally a person doesn't eat in the course of a meal. So the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Brachos and Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph that Rav Huna achal tveis harifti, he ate 13 loaves of sweet bread. B'nei tlosa, tlosa. In each one of the loaves, three loaves together, bekava, equaled one kav of flour, v'loi barich, and he did not make birchas hamazon afterwards. Presumably then he did not make hamotzi lechem min haaretz beforehand either. Amalei Rav Nachman, adei kafna. He said, people eat this when they're hungry. So, meaning they eat it as a meal. Rather, any time a person eats something that most people would use or consider to be a meal, you have to make hamotzi lechem min haaretz and also birchas hamazon at the conclusion. Not like the practice of Rav Huna. Rav Yehuda hava asik leil brei bei Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva. Rav Yehuda was preparing for the wedding of his son at the house of Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva. Aisu the kamayu pasa ba bekisnin, and they brought before him bread, which we'll define in a minute, that does not normally come in the course of a meal. They came, Shaminu the Kamavarchi Hamoitzi. He heard that they were making the bracha of Hamoitzi Lechem in Aretz. Amri Lei said to them, Desanya Rabbi Mani Omer, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Pasa Babakistim of Archalav Hamoitzi. That the opinion of Ramona was that Pasa Babakistim, you make the bracha of Hamoitzi Lechem in Aretz, Vamar Shmuel Halacha Rabbi Mani. Halacha Rabbi Muna, that's the way we paskin. Amalahu, so he said to them, Ein halach, Rabbi Yehuda responded to them, he saw they were making hamoitzi, because they felt that the opinion, we should follow the opinion of Ramona, that was the quote in the name of Shmuel. So Amalahu, Ein halacha Rabbi Muna itmar. No, we do not paskin like Ramona, that a person should not make hamoitzi lechem in aretz and pasa bobe kisnin. Rather, it's mizoinus. So Amri Leva Hamar Huda Amar Mishmei the Shmuel, but we heard from you. We heard from you, Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel Lachmanios, which is also a type of bread which does not normally come in the course of a meal. Ma'arvin Bahen Umevorchin Alein Hamoitzi. You can use it as an erev Chatzeros or an erev Tchumin in order to establish residency on Shabbos, and you make the bracha of Hamoitzi. It's considered pas. It's considered to be bread. So Gemara explains. Rabbi Yehuda explains. Shiny Hasim Dekava Sudase Alayu. That's only if a person establishes that, he eats it as, considers it as one of his meals. He does not eat the equivalent of a person would eat in a meal, so then he does not make the bracha of Hamayt Selech Menaretz. He would not conclude with Birch Samazin. So what emerges from the Gemara is that if you have bread, something that's made from the five grains, that's baked in an oven, it's made into a thick dough that's then baked into an oven. So if it's normally eaten and consumed as part of a meal, the bracha, of course, would be hamoisi. That's the typical bread that we encounter. But if it's what's known as pasa babikisnin, it's not the bread that we would typically eat in the course of a meal, even though it sounds like it's pas for all intents and purposes. It's made out of one of the five grains and it's made into a thick dough and it's baked in an oven. Nonetheless, the bracha would be mezainas beforehand and me'en shalosh afterwards, ala michya, not birchas hamazon. But if a person is kavas udase alayu, he eats it as one of his meals, or he eats the equivalent of what a person would eat as part of his meal, so then he would be obligated to make hamotzi beforehand and birchas hamazon afterwards. What does it mean that he's kava sudase alayhu? So the Rush writes, quotes in the name of the Rive, that every person and every situation is different. If you are eating what you would normally consider to be a meal, even though it's made of pasta babakistin, or you're eating the equivalent of what people would eat, you know, the same amount of bread that people would eat, or you would eat in the course of a meal, so then for you, that's considered to be a kviyu suda. Every person and every situation is different. That's what the Rosh writes over here in the second line. If my normal way is to eat a small amount of bread in the course of a meal, if I eat that amount of pasta barbekistin, you'd be obligated to make hamoitzi and birch salmozin. However, then the Rosh quotes the name of Rabbeinu Moshe, that no, we say, even if a person would be kaveh suda on a small amount of bread, a small amount of possible bekisnin, most people would not do that. He's considered negligible to the larger group, and he's butla daita zadas kol b'nei adam. And rather, this halacha has a standard, what most people would consider to be the equivalent, the amount of bread that most people would eat together with a meal. If a person has that amount of pasta barbekisnin, then he would be obligated to make hamoitzi and bench. But anything less than what most people would eat as a meal, you would not have to make hamoitzi, you would not have to bench. So the Bi'ur Halacha writes that there must be some distinctions here, because older people eat a little bit less than younger people. So the Bi'ur Halacha is willing to distinguish somewhat, most people in your demographic eat less, so then the standard would perhaps be a little bit less. But if,
bagels are not included, right? Because they're not baked.
Bagels are baked. They're first boiled, then baked. They're first boiled, but then they're baked, yeah.
They are baked?
Yeah, and that's the main. Yeah, but then they're baked. Okay, so there might be some distinction, but generally a kviyu suda is determined by what most people would eat in the course of a meal. Perhaps there's a difference between older people, younger people. One could perhaps distinguish between men and women, also eat different amounts, perhaps at different times. So, but if a person eats the amount of possible bekisin that most people would eat, the amount of bread, the equivalent, that most people would eat bread at a meal, or the equivalent of a meal, so then they would be obligated to make hamoitzi and birch samozin.
How do you differentiate between regular bread and possible bekisin?
We're going to get there 1 second. Yeah? Yeah. So, but first we first have to set the table. So, the Mishnah Brewer writes over here, Oizdalad, what is considered to be a kviyu suda, lamaisa, what's the shear? So, he writes over here at the end, the fourth line, he writes, V'ni le'inyan eruve tchumin, when with regards to establishing residency on Shabbos, in order to walk chutz l'tchum, so the shear is 3 or 4 beitzim. That's considered to be a suuda Shabbos. However, many other achrayim, then the Mishnah Berurah quotes, many other achrayim disagree that that's a minimal suda in order to establish residency, but that's not necessarily a normal suda, and therefore, with regards to kviyas suda and hilchas brachas, it should be the equivalent of the amount of bread that a person would eat at supper. He says at our lunch and breakfast, we eat on the go. Probably it's not advisable, but that's what we do. We eat much less for breakfast and lunch. But a supper is the only proper meal that we really eat. In some cultures, they only have 2 meals a day, one in the mid-morning, one in the towards evening, which are both legitimate, bona fide, substantial meals. But in our context, we really only have one substantial meal, which is a supper. So if a person eats the amount of bread, which would be the equivalent of the volume of what people would eat for supper, so that then that would, and he eats that from Pasuk Bekis, and that would be considered a kviya suda and be obligated to make hamoitzi and birch samazin afterwards. What if he's eating it, though, together with other foods? See, if you're just eating pasta barbekisnin and you eat the equivalent of what people eat for supper, you eat 1,000 calories. So, let's say that's a typical meal. So you eat 1,000 calories of pasta barbekisnin, you'd be obligated, that volume, you'd be obligated to make hamoitzi and to bench. That's what people eat for a supper. But what if you're eating it together with other items? So the Mishnah Berurah over here quotes in the name of the Magen Avraham, Kasuach Reinim, Dim Achlu Levado Itzar Sheyoichal Shir Shacher Megillah Musvay Mimenu. If you're eating just Pasuk Bekisin, you have to eat as much as people would become, the equivalent of a full meal. Vim Achla Yambasa Idvam Acherim, but if you're going to eat it together with fish or with meat, so then you only have to eat the amount of bread. If you eat Pasuk Bekisin, which is the equivalent of the amount of bread that people typically eat together with meat and fish, then you'd be obligated to make hamoitzi and birch samazon afterwards. So that's even much less. If you eat, again, the amount of pasuk bekisin, which is the equivalent, the amount of bread that people eat together with meat and fish, then you'd be obligated to bench. and to make hamoitzi. That's the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah. There were other achrayim who disagreed, the Aruch HaShulchan, the Birkei Yosef, but most side with this psak of the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah. So for that reason, the Poskim raised an issue about a person who goes to a smorgasbord or elaborate kiddush. So they have many different items there. They have meats and fish and other things. And they also have kichel. And people are walking around eating the kichel, or eating the cake, eating the pasabah b'kisnin. And they might eat the volume. Not, they're not going to eat necessarily the volume that would be the equivalent of an entire supper of just pasabah b'kisnin. I have 1,000 calories of pasabah b'kisnin. But they're eating it together with meat and with fish. And it's they're eating the equivalent of the amount of bread that a person would typically eat with a supper. That you're having meat and fish as well. So in that situation, a person might run into a shaila, potential problem, or that he should really be reciting hamoitzi and benching, even though he's not necessarily eating that much pasabah b'kisnin. He's eating it together with meat and fish, and which is the equivalent of the amount of bread that people would typically eat with a meal. So the Aruch HaShulchan already discusses this practice of the kiddushes and the smorgasbord. So he suggests a limud zchus. Maybe people are walking around. How can we call it a kviya sud if nobody's sitting? But by a proper kiddush, people are sitting. So if you're sitting by a kiddush, it makes it even worse. And then it's only a limud zchus. And then people are walking around. It's not really a kviya suda. So therefore, Rav Moshe and Igros Moshe was machmer, not only by the kiddushes and the smorgasbord, but Rav Moshe writes that if a person, let's say, goes to a wedding and he doesn't want to stay for the sheva brachas at the end, so he's not going to wash. So Rav Moshe, because Rav Moshe's opinion was you're supposed to stay for the sheva brachas. If you wash, you should stay to the end. It's an obligation for all those who are participating in the meal. So Rav Moshe says, what are you going to do? So don't wash. Then Rav Moshe says, you can't eat dessert either. Because if you're going to eat dessert, so Rav Moshe says, you're going to eat the amount of pasabah b'kisnin, the cake, that people would typically eat with a meal of fish and meat. You're going to be obligated to make hamoitzi and to bench. Even if you didn't wash in the bread, you ate the equivalent of a pasabah b'kisnin in the amount of bread that a person would typically eat with a proper meal.
What happens at the tish? People are sitting down. Are you supposed to bench?
No. How much are you eating? That's a kiddush. That's the shmorg. Yeah, that's the shaila here. So Moshe claimed that if you're having a cake together with your fish and your meat, which is the equivalent of what most people would have for a supper, and then you're just substituting pasabah b'kisnin in place of pas, so Moshe claims it should be hamoitzi. That's a kviya suda. It should be hamoitzi, and you'd have to bench afterwards.
You have to wash in the middle. Let's say you sat down eating cake, you realize you're going to.
So if you weren't aware of what you were going to do,
right.
So if I know I plan in advance, right. You have to wash my hamoitzi. If in the middle I realize that this cake is delicious, the kukish, right? So then you only have to wash if you're going to eat afterwards a kviya suda. If you're not going to eat afterwards another kviya suda, you just make a birchas hamazon at the end.
In general, so does he hold that you make a bracha on dessert in general?
We'll get to one second. So the other paiskim, though, Rabbi Yaakov in his comments to Emes Liyakov and Shulchan Aruch, also is quoted in Shmiyah Shabbos Kochas and Shlomo Zalman, that disagreed with Rav Moshe that desserts are separate from the meal. We'll get to in a second with regards to desserts, but you can't consider a kviya suda just that, you know, because at the end you have dessert. If I'm eating kichel together with the meat and together with the fish at a kiddush, it's something to keep in mind to make sure that if you don't want to wash and make a mitzi, make sure not to eat too much, either too much meat and fish or too much kichel with the meat and the fish. But a piece of cake at the end, or maybe even a piece of cake that's coming together with meat and fish, the cake is something that's, they argue cake is something that's separate. It's only if it's a kichel or a cracker or something that could be legitimately considered part of the meal. So then they felt that you might run into a potential issue, but not the dessert at the end of the meal. So, okay, if a person, though, eats pasabah b'kisnin, which is something made out of the 5 grains, a thick dough that's baked in an oven, but normally would not be encountered in the course of a meal, so if you eat, the bracha should be mezainis, but if you eat a kviya suda, either the amount that's equivalent to a supper, or you eat it together with meat and fish, you eat the equivalent of the amount of bread that you would eat together with meat and fish or with a supper, so then you'll be obligated to make hamoitzi and to bench. What is considered, though, to be pasabah b'kisnin? So the Rashba, there's 3 opinions in Rishonim. The Rashba's opinion in Masechtas Brachos is that it's pie. That's why it's called kisnin. Kisnin means kiss or pockets. That's the opinion of the Rashba. The Rambam disagrees that it's miloshen kisnoi. Kisnoi was a sweet grain, a sweet roasted barley. So pasabah bekistin means that it's sweet. It's more like what we would call cake. It's mixed with honey and sugar. And then the third opinion is the Arach quotes in the name of Rav Haigarn that it's kesisa, milashan kesisa, which means crunchy, like a cracker. Three opinions of what is pas haba bekistin. The Gemara never defines it. However, all three opinions are quoted in the Shulchan Aruch over here. Oishei, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Simen Kuf Samachesiv Zayin, pas haba bekistin yesh mefarshim, pasha asui kamin kisim, like a pie, it has pockets. Mamal masad vasha sukar, vegeizim shkedim vitavlin, that's the Rajba. Then he says, yesh oimrim, she isa sheir bad vasha shemin ochalav amine tavlin vafa, or you mixed into it honey, or oil, or eggs for that matter. And you baked it. We'll get to that in a second. That you have to be able to taste the flavor of it. And then he quotes on the third line, they make it hard and crunchy. And then the Shulchan Aruch concludes on the fourth line, we follow all of them. It would be the bracha of mezainos. And you would conclude with Me'ein Shalosh, but if you're Kaveya Sudo, you ate the equivalent of a supper of these items, then of course you'd make Hamoitzi and bench. So the Bir Halach over here, quotes Rabbi Kiva Eger, who asks, how can we paskin like all of them? It should be a Suffolk Brachis. And he says, why doesn't the Shulchan Aruch say Yerei Shamayim should only eat it in the course of a meal? Shulchan Aruch makes such a recommendation later on with regards to donuts, which is beyond the discussion for today, that which is made from a thick dough, but instead of being baked, it's fried or boiled in oil. So the Shulchan Aruch has a machlekes. What bracha do you make on donuts? Should it be mezoinis because it's boiled and not baked, or should it be hamaiti because it's from a thick dough like bread? Machlokes of bracha about donuts. We know our minig is to make mezainis, but the Shulchan Aruch recommends Yirei Shamayim. It's not even our minig really to be chayshish for this, but Yirei Shamayim should only eat it in the course of a meal. So why doesn't he say, because machlokes hamayitzi mezainis, so why doesn't he say the same thing over here? We should only eat pasuk b'kistin in the course of a meal. That's Rabbi Kiva Eger's kasha. So the Bir Halacha quotes over here in the fifth line, I'm a Kedusha Rabbi Kiva Eger, Shik Shamayim lo kasim machabed, Yirei Shamayim yetzi dey kulam kamosha kasim, as if you had gimel with regards to donuts. So many later Achrayim answer the Kasha Rabbi Kiva Eger that it could be, it doesn't really answer fully, but it could be at least the Shulchan Aruch felt, perhaps b'diyevet, if a person makes mezainos on that which should really be hamaitzi, if you make mezainos on bread, b'diyevet your yoytze. Maybe that's what the Shulchan Aruch held. If you make hamaitzi, what?
You don't have that. You have a problem
with Birchus Hamazon. You'd have a problem with Birchus Hamazon. If you're eating a Kfiyas Suda.
Right.
If you're eating a Kfiyas Suda. We're talking about you're not eating. If you're eating kfiya sudo, all of them are hamoitzi and benching. We're talking about you eating less than a kfiya sudo.
All
you're saying, what will be with benching? Right. Yeah.
Is the sweet aspect definitional to pasuk b'kistin, or can it be like savory, like if it was a knish or something?
We'll get to it. Very good.
According to the first sheet, that's like a pie. When you measure the shear, do you count the filling that's part of the shear, only the dough?
Excellent. You probably count the filling. Pies are different. Cakes, we probably count the sugar and the other items.
But by pie,
the Chazon Ish writes that the filling of the pie is really something that's separate from the pie. It probably wouldn't be part of the shir kviya sudah. It's a big machlek. What do you count when you're counting? What about air pockets and all of this? But let's just the nuts and bolts of that. That's Shiloh. If you ate a kviya sudah, you probably know you ate a kviya sudah. If you didn't eat kviya sudah, I don't know if the air pockets are going to save you. But you make a very good point. Pie is really where it comes up because the pie filling is very thick. So most say pie filling doesn't count for the Shia Kfiya Suda. Okay, but that's what Bekiva Eger asks. How could the Shulchan Aruch be passing like all of them? It's really run into a Suffolk Brocha Shaila. Should it be making Hamaitzi or should it be making Mezainais? But nonetheless, Shulchan Aruch says all of them are Mezainais. How can the Shulchan Aruch say that? That's what Bekiva Eger's Kasha. But then the Bi Halacha quotes from the Maimer Mordechai. Over here on the fifth line, Uvamayma Mordechai Miyashu was one of the contemporaries of Akiva Eger, or Mordechai Carmi. Miyashu, the cave and the loy nizkar behedya, shechokum apoiskim bazeva efshad the maidul adadi. He suggests a different approach, which is that there really isn't a machlaikas harishainim here as to what, is specifically possible because they're all examples of a larger category of items that are similar to bread, but a person normally does not encounter in the course of a meal. Pie, cake, crackers, all of them are just examples of a larger category of items that are, you know, are similar in terms of the way that they're prepared to bread, but they're more snack foods as opposed to meal foods, and therefore the bracha is not hamoitzi, but is mezainas and kakud with a me'ein shalosh. So it seems to be there's a machlekes here between Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Maamar Mordechai. What is pasa baba kisnin? Is pasa baba kisnin one specific item that's discussed by the Gemara, and that we have a machlekes rishonim as to how to define it, or is pasa baba kisnin a general category of items that we don't normally encounter in the course of a meal because they're not meal foods, rather they are snack foods. That's what seems to be the machlekes between Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Maamar Mordechai, and there's going to be many differences as to how you approach pasa baba kisnin. One example of this, where the Bir Halacha already raises the issue, is with regards to desserts. The Gemara says in Masechtas Brachos, Daf Mem Aleph and Beis, that if a person makes hamoitzi, so then everything that comes in the course of the meal is covered. You don't have to make a bread pri adama on vegetables that come, because that's part of the meal. Or, potato kugel, that's part of the meal. So whatever is part of the meal is covered under the bracha of hamoitzi, with the exclusion of wine, because wine is chashuv, has its own bracha independently. So if you make wine, if you don't make a kiddush before you're eating your meal, you have wine in the middle of the meal, then you'd have to make a bracha. All other items are covered under the hamoitzi. However, the Gemara gives one exception to that rule. Amar Rav Papa, Hilchsa Dvarim Habayim Machmas Hasuda B'Sei Chasuda Ein Tuunim Bracha Loilof Neim V'Loil Achreim. If it's generally part of the meal, or comes as part of the meal, to satiate you, to fill you, which is the purpose of eating, so then you don't make a bracha before or afterwards. It's covered on the Birch Samazin as well. V'Shaloi Machmas Hasuda, but if it doesn't come as part of the meal, it's something that's extraneous to the meal. You're kind of eating it because it tastes good, but not because it's necessarily, that satiating and to that filling. So if you're eating it, b'sei chasuda, tu'un in bracha lefneihem, ve'ein tu'un in bracha l'achreihem. So it's covered under the birchas hamazon, but it requires a bracha beforehand. So therefore most, poskim are of the opinion if a person has raw fruit at the end of a meal, that's not dvarim habayim machmas hasuda, so you'd have to make a bar priya eitz of a person's having ice cream at the end of the meal, have to probably make a shak on the abidvari before you eat it, because people are eating it because it tastes good. Some argued that ice cream is really just like frozen liquid. And since you don't make a bracha on any drink that comes in the middle of the suda, ice cream is really just like a drink. But most are of the opinion that ice cream should require shahako, because it's not dvarim haboy makmas asuda. What about cake, or pie, or crackers? So should that require a bracha beforehand, if it's served as a dessert? So the Shulchan Aruch says yes. Shulchan Aruch says over here, Sif Ches, V'achalahu b'sai chasuda, shaloi machmas chasuda. He's discussing possible b'kisnin. You eat it in the middle of the meal, or at the end of the meal, but it's not dvar maboy machmas chasuda, tu'unim brachu ofneim v'loi lachreya. It's covered on the birch samazim, but it requires a mezainos beforehand. So Bir Halacha asks, how can you make a mezainos beforehand? We don't know what is possible with kissing. So three-way machlokes are showing him. So I'm a mishmer brewer shakatsu b'shem and magen avram. The huadin l'chol possible with kissing. Any possible with kissing that you eat in the course of a meal is not dvar mabon machmas asuda. You'd have to make a mezainos beforehand. So he says kol zeli ikar adin. That's in theory. Avol didan the misafkinim with possible with kissing. We don't know. Have a hard and fast definition of possible with kissing. It could be crackers. It could be cake. It could be pie. After mechaber pasuk halakha b'kulam, hainu mishum the savik the rabban alakel. Savik the rabban alakel. Okay, make a mezainos on hamaitzi yaitz b'diyevin. Or you're not sure if you have to bench. Okay, don't bench. V'imatz rechinul hu levarich hamaitzi ubirch samozik kashar pas. But we don't know what to do, so we go l'kula. Masha ein kein binyaneinu. If it's just because we say savik brachas l'kula, see, make a mezainus on the cake because we don't know. Well, you yoytzim be the oven mezainus, or it's a savik brachas l'kula if you have the bench. Okay, say mayin shalish. But over here, savik brachas l'kula should dictate not to make a bracha on the dessert, not to make a bracha on the cake. Masha ein kein binyaneinu. That's richa bracha teichasuda. We're not sure if this is pas baba kisnin. This might be pas mamish. And if it's pas mamish, it's covered underneath the bracha of hamaitzi that you made at the beginning of the suda. So therefore, the Bir Halacha says that even though in theory, if we're sure it's pas baba kisnin, you can make a bracha. So some say pie, that's where the pie crust is very crunchy, like our pie. And the pie itself has sugar in it, it's cake. The pie itself is cake. and it has pockets, there's fruit filling in it. So it satisfies all three definitions of pasa baba kissin. It's crumbly, and it's sugary, and it has a pocket that's full of fruit. So then that you can make a bracha, mezainus, at the end of a meal. But B'Alacha says anything that doesn't satisfy all three categories of pasa baba kissin, you shouldn't make a mezainus, because we're not sure if that's really pasa baba kissin. However, then the B'Alacha already recognizes that's only according to Rabbi Kiva Eger, who held that we have that pasa baba kissin is one specific item that we're trying to define, figure out what it is. However, according to the Maamar Mordechai, that is three examples of one larger category of items which are not normally eaten in the course of a meal, because they're not meal foods, they're snack foods. So then all cake, there's no machlekes here, so cake, pie, crackers, any item that comes is served as a dessert, a person would have to make a bari minim mizonos. If he must cut sabne we have shema mayim mordechai, the Biolach says last line, the after the moidu zelaza ain kushik kokach, there isn't really such a machlekes here, and therefore a person should make a mizonos at the end cake at the end of a meal. That is the practice of some. But later Paiskim say that most people, I've asked many people about this, many people feel that cake at the end of a meal, you leave room for the cake. You're eating that to satisfy you. Well, you know, the meal isn't that good, at least there's dessert, you know, you have the cake. So I asked different Paiskim, but I've noticed, I have to say, a trend that people who are careful about what they eat, I've noticed by people who are not as heavy as others, if you're careful about what you eat, and of course, I mean, you're conscious of what you're eating, and you don't eat cake if you're full, you only eat cake if you're not full, so then they don't make a bracha on cake as a dessert. If you would, you're full, you know, but you would still eat a piece of cake, so then you should probably be make, according to the Maamar Mordechai, you would make a bracha on the cake. According to Rabbi Akiva Eger, you shouldn't, but as we're going to see, in many areas we pass like the Maamar Mordechai. The B'Alacha says not to, because he's chayshu Rabbi Akiva Eger, but we're going to see that Mishnah Berurah is not consistent on this. So I think a person, if he would eat cake after he's full already, should probably make a mezainis on the cake. Certainly pie, which satisfies all three definitions of possible kissing. But if a person leaves room for the cake, even same token, if a person leaves room for dessert and his dessert, he considers as part of his meal. You know, in terms of your calorie counting, and that's part of your meal, so then you wouldn't make a bracha. That's considered the Dvar Mabar Machmas Asuda. He's not arguing. He's saying, in theory, Pasba Bekisnin, you would make a bracha. He says, but we don't know what Pasba Bekisnin is. And it's Machlekes how to understand the fact that Shulchan Aruch quotes all three opinions.
Article here in Europe, dessert was like a luxury. It wasn't necessarily part of the meal. In America, dessert's part of the meal. You have the appetizer, entree, dessert. So in that case, it should be part of the meal in every circumstance.
Because that's what you think of when you think of the meal. If that's the case, meaning you have in mind that this is the cake when you make the hamotzi, and it's not something like, oh, a dessert, so then you're right, you wouldn't. But if you're eating it, you're full, you're done. So even if it normally comes, but you're not eating it to satisfy, you're eating it because it tastes good, that's not really Dvar Mabar Machmas Asuda, in which case you have to make a bracha. You're right. No, because that's
part of the meal, like side dishes, a part of the meal today. You know, you go to someone's home, you expect.
You obviously stop eating potato cook at some point because you're full. Yeah. So, if you're eating it, you're obviously not full. But dessert, people will eat because it's sugar that tastes good. No, they would eat it. But if you have something that's not verma, that's the whole kash by the seder. I'm not going to get involved in that. But you know, why don't we make a bracha on the vegetables that are not verma, but machmas asuda? So you could have it in the middle of the meal. Always room for desserts. Always room for jello, yeah. This issue, though, is going to be perhaps related to many other issues which are very much like Gehel Amaisa. So, for example, the Shulchan Aruch tells us look back at one of the definitions of Pasa Baba Kissin. The second one was that it's mixed. The Rambam's definition back in Ois Hay was that it's mixed with sugar or milk or perhaps eggs. That's Pasa Baba Kissin. But says the Shulchan Aruch, "V'hushi atama taruvas hamei peres or atavla nikar be'isa." It's as long as you can taste the sugar or the eggs or the milk. The Ramah has a greater standard. V'yeshomim shezen nikar pas gomer. Nah, just because you can taste the raisins in the challah doesn't make it into a pasa baba kissin. Or just because you can taste the egg in the challah doesn't make a pasa baba kissin. According to the Shulchan Aruch, once you can taste egg, once you can taste raisins, it's already possible of a kissin, the brach will be mezainis, unless you're kaveh asuda on it. That's why Sfardim usually have water challah, not egg challah. However, the Ramah writes, Yesh Oimim, Shezen Nikra Pas Gomer, Nah, Raisin Chala, Egg Chala, it's all Pas Mamish. Elim Ken Yesh Bohem Harbe Tavlin, O Dvash Kamina Mesika Shekon Lokin, Shekim At Hadvash Vatavlin Heim Ha Iker, Vechei Noigim. It's only when the sugar overshadows the fact that it's bread. I mean, it's so sugary, you forget about the fact that this is actually bread in the first place. So Mishneh Berurah explains the opinion of the Ramah over here. Sifkan Lama Gimel wrote to Lama Shekol Kach Tavlin Meur Ben Al Shayodeze Yeminkar Tavlin Betam Yoisem Yakemach. You can taste the flavoring more than the flour. V'chem B'dvash V'shem V'chalav Be'inyan Sheroiv Mehen Umiut Mayim. There's a little bit of water too, but it's mostly egg, mostly the sugary additives, and not the main flour. Then it would be mezainus, but then it would be mezainus. Otherwise, it would be pas mamish. So egg challah, raisin challah, according to the Rama, certainly pas mamish. Mm-hmm. However, it says in the Mishneh Berurah that you have to be able to taste the flavoring. However, in the Marsham, as a commentary in Shulchan Aruch called the Das Torah, the Marsham writes in the Das Torah that if it's, let's say there's no water at all, it's all apple juice, it's all maperis, or for that matter, all eggs. There's no water at all. Even egg challah has water in it. All eggs. So then the Marsham's opinion was, even if you can't taste the flavor, it would be mezainus. From the Mishneh Berurah, it sounds like you certainly have to be able to taste the flavor. It's a machlokes in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. How much do you have to be able to? Do you have to be able to detect it, or it has to be the minority? But it sounds like you certainly have to be able to taste it. According to the Das Torah and the Marsham, even if you can't taste it, but that's the only thing that's mixed together with the flour, then the bracha would be a mezonos. That's the big difference with regards to the mezonos rolls. Mezonos rolls, they claim, are made with all juice. Yeah. There's no water that's mixed in. If that's true, if they make it not from concentrate, if they make it from concentrate, then there's water mixed in. Many juices are from concentrate. So, but if it's legitimately made from 100% pure apple juice, there's no water mixed in. So according to the Marsham, even though you can't taste the flavor of the apple, if you can taste the flavor of the apple juice, no one would eat it. It would be disgusting. They don't want you to be able to taste the flavor of the apple juice. They want it to taste like bread. So, but according to the Marsham, even if you can't taste the flavor of all that's used is juice, so then the bracha should in theory be mezainus. That's where Rabbi Bodner quotes from Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, Rabbi Yashu, the bracha mezonos rolls should be, the bracha of these kinds of rolls should be mezainus. However, many other poskim in America disagree with this. First of all, the Mishneh Berurah doesn't agree with the Marsham. It sounds like you certainly have to be able to taste the juice. The machlekes has to be the majority flavor, a minority. You have to be able to detect it, but you certainly have to be able to taste it. And if it tastes the same as bread, then it should be pas mamish. And
like
people are, we'll get the, okay. Cake also looks like bread.
So you don't know. It looks like bread, so you have to assume it's bread, right?
Yeah. Well, usually they're screaming on you, mezainus rolls. If they make mezainus, it's labeled mezainus. But also, many feel that you're being kaveya suda on it. You're eating it together with your, if you're eating the airline food at all, but you're eating it together with something, and it's you're eating the equivalent of the amount of bread you would typically eat with a supper, together with the fish or with the meat. So it's being together with a hot dog, but you're eating it together with the other food. So you're eating a kfiyu suda of these mezainus rolls. So even if in theory it would be possible by kisnin, but you're kaveya suda on it. And moreover, many argue it's not possible because in the first place, because you can't taste the apple juice. So that's why many disagree that the mezainus rolls are not mezainus at all. Number one, you kaveya suda on it. Number two, you can't taste the item that's mixed in with it, according to the Mishneh Berurah, that was never possible by kissing in the first place. But then one can make an even broader argument, which brings us to the next discussion, which is that it could be mezainus rolls are not snack foods. Again, according to the Maamar Mordechai, the definition of possible by kissing was snack foods. But it could be that mezainus rolls are not snack foods by definition of the fact that it's called mezainus bread. Mezainus rolls, these are not, the Rabbi Forrest writes in the Sefer HaBrachos, that itself is an oxymoron. If it's rolls, it's not mezainus. So they can't have both at the same time. You can't have your mezainus rolls and eat it too. So it can't be both at the same time. So it's a meal food, not a snack food. And perhaps even that which would fit in the general definitions of possible bekisnin, if it's generally eaten as a meal food, would be hamaitzi, yeah?
So if you just said take a bite out of it, according to the first explanation said you would have not have to wash.
So if, right, if it's just because you're koveya suda on it, but fundamentally you believe like the Marsham that it's possible, but kissing it's only if you're koveya suda on it. If you just take a little bite, you might be right. Exactly. Or you're eating it, I eat the airline meal, 2 hours later I'm going to eat the mezonos roll. Yeah. Then in theory you'd be right. But many argue that it's not a snack food at all. It's a meal food. And which that could be not the same in Eretz Yisrael. It might depend from place to place. So it could be, you know, the Pesach in Eretz Yisrael addressing one reality, but in our reality, that the mezonos rolls are generally eaten in the place of bread when people simply don't, you know, don't want to be inconvenienced to wash, it would probably have the status of bread, and according to the Maamar Mordechai, a person would be obligated to wash, make hamotzi, and to bench. Where do you see this, huh? They serve what?
Crackers.
Yeah. Like saltines.
Yeah.
Okay, that's then. So then, that's a snack together, food.
But it's served together with a meal.
Okay, so then you're eating saltines with your meal. If you're kaveh suda on them, you would eat the equivalent of the amount of bread people would eat with a supper. Then you'd be obligated to make
hamotzi. Sounds like a lot of this becomes an individual.
No.
Somebody can't taste certain things.
No one tastes the apple juice. If you tasted the apple juice, you wouldn't be eating
this
it.
This is like egg matzah.
Awesome.
That's the idea.
Egg matzah, yeah. So this brings us to the discussion over here in Shulchan Aruch. This is why I think said the Shulchan Aruch is not really, the Mishnah Berurah is not really consistent on this. Look at the Shulchan Aruch tells us over here, Lachmanios. No, not that one. Yeches, back, sorry. Last one on the first page. Pashtida, Hanefes Betanim, Rebasar Bedagim, which was a type of pastry that was made together with meat and fish. You would make hamaitzi and birch samazin. Why is this not possible, Bekistin? It's filled with something. It's a pie. So the Bir Halacha quotes at the fifth line over here, three lines from the bottom, that the Taz explained this halacha is because you're koveya suda on it. Since you're koveya suda, so then you you have to make hamaitzi and you would have to bench. However, if you're not koveya suda on it, it doesn't matter what it's filled with. Pie is the same as a meat pie, is the same as a cheese pie. However, the Mishnah Berurah, quotes the name of the Magen Avraham, who distinguishes, no, that here it's different because it's not filled with fruit filling and apple pie filling, which is usually eaten as a snack. Here it's filled with meat and with the cheese, which is usually eaten as a meal. Hainu afil b'deloy kavalai, who says the Mishnah Berurah, v'loy domi l'pasa b'bekistin. It's not the same as pasa b'bekistin, which we said is something that has a pocket. The perush pasa m'lua b'peris v'tavlin. D'lo mevarach alei ha'moitzi. You don't make ha'moitzi. B'deloy kavah suda alai, unless you're kavah suda. The shiny asim de'en asun al kinuach suda, that's eaten as something separate, as a snack. This is made with meat. It's typically eaten as a meal. Then it's like all other bread. You'd be obligated to make hamaitzi and to bench. And I believe that this is, even though the Taz disagrees, this is the meaning of Ashkenazim. That's why Sfardim make, what do they make on matzah? They make mezainus. All year long they make a mezainus. Why? Because it fits into the general categories of pasabah bekissen. It's crunchy. It's like a cracker. So they seem to be of the opinion pasabah bekissen is specific items. We'll make on all three categories, because suffik brachas lekula. For the evidence, you can make a mezainus even on mitzi too. So fine, we make a mezainus on cake, we make a mezainus on pie, we make a mezainus on crunchy crackers, because it's specific items, and if it fits into that the definition, you would make a mezainus. So matzah also, Sfardim make a mezainus. On Pesach, they won't make hamitzi, because there is no other bread. So this takes the place of bread. And they have a whole discussion, what if you have matzah after Pesach, what bracha do you make on it? However, Ashkenazim make hamitzi on matzah all year long. Eretz Pesach Frank explains in the Har Tzvi, many others explain as well, that it's because matzah is a meal food. We eat matzah, you know, interchangeably with bread. So since it's a meal food, even though it fits the definitions, strictly speaking, a pasabah b'kissin, but we treat it as a meal food, just like pashtida, you make hamaitzi and you bench, so too a matzah, we make hamaitzi and we bench. So therefore, it seems anything, even if it fits into the heart of his, you know, the definition of pasabah b'kissin that Shulchan Aruch has, but if it's eaten typically as a meal food, you'd be obligated to wash and to bench. So for that reason, many Paiskim felt, you know, certainly mezonos rolls are eaten typically with a meal, therefore it should be, you know, that's what they're made for, it should be hamaitzi. But pizza as well, in our context, many Paiskim feel, or force the others, that Shlomo Zalman, that you should wash on pizza, even if you're eating less than one slice, even a little crumb, just like you have to wash on a crumb of bread. because pizza is typically eaten as a meal food in our context, not as a snack food. And others disagree. The psak traditionally from Ramesh in America was that pizza is a snack food. It's not a meal food. In fact, they bring a riot. Pizza stores are open 24 hours a day. Are people eating meals all 24 hours a day? Must be people who are snacking on pizza. So you could take your polls in the different communities, but many feel in our context, pizza is generally eaten as a meal. You don't whip out at 2:30 in the afternoon a slice of pizza when you want a snack on something. So most people probably eat it as a meal food, and therefore it should be you have to wash on it. But traditionally, Rav Moshe felt it was a snack food, and if you're eating one slice, you're not kaveya suda. That's not the amount that people typically eat for a meal. So then you wouldn't wash and make a mezainis. If you're eating two slices, it's only more. Then you'd be obligated to wash and make a mezainis, make a hamotzi. But there are other issues that depend on this as well. For example, what about a Franks and blankets? So that's clearly a snack food, even though it fits the definition of pashtita. It's a meat pie, but it's typically eaten as a snack. But deli roll might be more of a shayla. Deli roll is probably not a snack food. It's probably a meal food. So in theory, one might have to make hamaitzi and to wash on a deli roll. So that's why a deli roll I would really only eat in the course of a meal if you're washing. It probably would be hamaitzi.
Like a filter fish.
Wow.
It's got bread in it, right?
It's matzah meal. All different.
In the old days, they used to make it with bread.
Again, it has to be made from the five grains into a dough and baked. Gefilte fish left the highway long before.
Yeah.
But what about berekas or knishes? Most people assume are a snack food or a Danish, croissants, garlic nuts, soft pretzels, all these hard pretzels, even though, again, they might fit some of the definitions of, even though they might resemble pashtida, like a potato knish is typically eaten as a snack food. Pretzels are hard and crunchy. Even soft pretzels people eat typically as snacks. Melba toast, bagel chips, all these things, if they're made for snacks, if it's made as a bagel, you cut it up into chips, then of course it would be hamotzi. That's no different than toast. But if it's made as a snack food, so then the bracha would be mezainis. But if it's typically eaten for a meal, then the bracha would probably be hamotzi.
So croutons in a salad, all that, that's not a problem.
If it's made, so many feel if it's made as croutons, it should be mezainis. Others argue that what the baker has in mind doesn't matter. It looks like bread that was chopped up into little pieces. However, if you're going to argue that, if you're going to say that the baker, it doesn't matter what the baker has in mind, then pretzels should also be, soft pretzels also be hamayitzi. And many feel that they're not. So in my opinion, if the baker had in mind, meaning if they're marketed as croutons, and they're made as croutons, many times they're fried anyway. So if they're, they're fried, it's mezainis anyway. But if it's made as a snack food, so then it would be mezainis. One last issue is wraps. I'm only talking about because Aaron asked me. This is not a my time clock. But the Gemara says in Masechtas Brachos, if you remember, there's something that's similar to Pasuk B'Kisnin, which is Lachmanios. That was the last line of Ois Aleph. Lachmanios are also mezainis, similar to Pasuk B'Kisnin. If you kaveh a suda on it, then you would make hamotzi and you would bench. What are Lachmanios? Lachmanios are something that's not the same as bread, not because you mixed in other items, it's sweet, but because the texture is different. It's not made from a thick dough, but from a thinner dough. So the Shulchan Aruch says a thinner batter. So Shulchan Aruch says over here, ois tes, lachmanios, if it's blilasan ava, then it's lechem gomor. If it's made from a thick batter, thick dough, like bread, then of course it's bread, bi hamotzi. But if it's blilasan maraka, if it's made from a thin batter, so then, it's mezainis. If you kaveh a suda on it, you would make hamotzi. So Mishnah Brura writes, that's only if it's a medium thickness. It has some thick, depth to it. He says, but if it's very thin, it's made from a thin batter. Again, most breads are made from a thick batter. Most of the items we're discussing are made from a thick batter. But if it's made from a thin pouring batter, like pancakes, or some cakes maybe, made from a thin batter, so then that's not even possible. But kissing, that's not, might not be pas. That's what's discussed over here is lachmanios. So the Shulchan Aruch says the bracha is mezainis. It's similar to pas, but kissing, if you kaveh a suda, you make hamotzi. But the Mishnah Brura says, davka be'elushem dakim v'rakim b'yoyser. I'm sorry. Avalim enam rakim v'dakim kokach mevur b'sif yudal d'lidin lechem alem uvar hamotzi. Again, if it's from a thick batter, then you would make hamotzi. But he says, it continues in the next line, kasu apaisim d'oyser shikarim b'prag. Then then it's always mezainis, even if you're kaveya suda on it, because it's not pas at all. So what emerges is, if it's made from a thinner batter, if it's a medium thickness, be mezainis, be kaveya suda on it, you'd have to make hamoitzi. That's what many feel is the status of pancakes. It's a mezainis. If you kaveh a suda on it, you'd have to make hamoizi because it's made from a thin pouring batter. If it's like a blintz, that it's so thin, it has no thickness to it at all, so then it's always mezainis. Even if you're kaveh a suda on it, it would be mezainis. That's like pasta. It has no toar lechem at all. It doesn't look like bread at all. It's not pas at all, even if you're kaveh a suda on it. Pancakes are baked. They're fried, but there's so little oil. The only reason you put oil there is so it doesn't stick to the pan. Most people. If you're deep frying pancakes, you're right. Most people don't deep fry pancakes. Most people only put...
You define baked. Is it baked in an oven or not in a pan?
Right, but if it's on a stovetop, but it's no liquid medium, that's the equivalent to baking. That's the equivalent, Ramah, that's not mine, this is not Mr. Brewer. It's Shulchan Aruch. If Ramah says, we can't do words, this is like a homosexual, a whole paragraph, you know, in Brachis, but if it's a pan, but there's no liquid there, in Kol HaTorah Kula, that's considered baking, not cooking. So if it's baked, pancakes, it's mezainis, but if you kaveh suda on it, then it would be hamaitzi. If it's a blintz, it's so thin, there's nothing there, no texture to it at all, then even if you kaveh suda on it, you wouldn't bench. But wraps, so... is a big discussion in contemporary Paiskim. Wraps, it seems to me, are made from thick batter, like bread. They're not made from pouring batter. So in which case, it's like lafa, or like pita, or what the Shulchan Aruch describes the first case, it's made from a thick batter, everyone would hold the tamaitzi. But even if it's made... But even if it's made from a thin batter that gets poured, but it's a meal food... People typically eat it as a meal, not as a snack. So it would probably be, even if it would be, it's certainly no worse than pancakes, which if you're kaveh suda, you'd have to bench. And it might be worse, because pancakes might sometimes be a snack food. Wraps are never a snack food. Wraps are always considered to be a meal food. So you probably have to wash on wraps. In fact, there's a video on matzah, if you can find it on YouTube. Someone showed Reb David Feinstein the wraps. He said, what's this? It's bread. He says, so they tried to argue with him and check for him, you could look. But he said it's bread. But Rabbi Bodner has just competing videos online. Rabbi Bodner has a video online of someone who asked Rabbi Yasha. But here, Rabbi David was sitting and he's looking at it. He sat there for 10 minutes. Rabbi Yasha was walking in the street and they showed him a wrap. And Rabbi Yasha said it has no toar lechem, which means it's like a blintz. But he looks, he goes, he mumbled as he was walking. But I think most, Bodner argues that wraps are mezainis, but most Paiskim consider wraps to be a hamaitzi. It's eaten as a meal food. It's no different than a lafa. It's made from a thick batter, probably. So in which case, it would probably be a hamaitzi. Yeah.